Our subject at this time is alienation and reconciliation. One of the most important messages in the Bible. The most important news and information that the human race may have the privilege of receiving. Alienation and reconciliation. In the fifth chapter of Romans, the last part of the 11th verse, in your King James edition, it reads atonement. But in the Greek and in the revised edition, it is reconciliation. Now notice. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. That has been in the Bible for many centuries. Everyone in this audience who is a Christian has received from God a very special deposit and responsibility. We have received the reconciliation. Now, if you'll notice, following this verse, the 12th verse begins with a wherefore. Never discount the significance of the conjunctions wherefore and therefore. Now, the 11th verse, the reconciliation, has something to do with the statement beginning with wherefore. Wherefore, as by Adam sin entered the world, so reconciliation has to do with Adam and with Christ. That's the story from the 12th verse of the 5th of Romans down to the 21st verse. In Adam, in Christ. Every adult on this earth is either in Adam or in Christ. Those who are in Adam are alienated from the life of God. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 18th verse, we read that statement. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But all who are in Adam are condemned. And they are also condemned by the Ten Commandments, the law called the ministration of condemnation. But in the final analysis, we read in the 3rd chapter of John, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ or in the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The human race is condemned in Adam. Romans 5:17-18. The human race is condemned by the law. 2 Corinthians 3:7-9. The human race, those who are unbelievers, who are still in Adam, are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, Neither the religion of the Jews nor the religion of the Gentiles availeth anything, said the Holy Spirit through Paul in the 6th of Galatians. But only a new creation in Christ Jesus. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. One of the richest, most wonderful verses in all the Bible is Ephesians, rather, 2:16. Ephesians 2:16. Where we read that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ broke down the middle wall of partition between Israel and the nations. Now notice, let this ring into your heart. Not only in your head, but get it in your heart and soul and believe it 100%. Why was this done? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross of Calvary with respect to alienation and reconciliation? That he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross. If you have been reconciled to God, you have been reconciled by the cross, by the shed blood, the perfect redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. And if you've been reconciled to God by the cross, you are a member of the only true Bible church, which is called the Soma, or the body of Christ. Now this is preceded by the second chapter. In the second chapter, notice, in the 12th verse, that at that time ye were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You will notice that the Apostle Paul's ministry, his special ministry, which was given him by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, was a ministry to the Gentiles. And these Gentiles, he tells us, had been alienated from the life of God, and they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You remember in the 16th of Luke, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man was in torment. And the messenger said, there is a great gulf between you. There's a great gulf between those who are alienated and those who are reconciled. In the first chapter of Romans, we read that about 2,000 years before Christ, God gave up the Gentiles. The children of Adam never learned their lesson. You know why God destroyed this world, the human race, with a flood? Because every imagination of the heart was evil only continually, and it repented God that he ever made man. And I will destroy man with a flood. And God did that about 2,340 years before Christ came. Then he gave them a new chance, another chance. They went out under Ham and Shem and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And there was grace then brought into that wonderful covenant and that dispensation. But they continued to go away from God. And they became just as wicked as they were before the flood. But God had promised in that covenant, when he put up the rainbow, you remember, I will never destroy man again with a flood. But he did come down at the Tower of Babel and destroy that tower and that city. And he scattered them on the face of all the earth. And they were divided into nations. And ever since there have been nations, there have been wars and rumors of war. God has designed that there should be only one established nation on this earth. As he says in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, I will make a full end of all nations on this earth except one, and that is the nation Israel. Now when God set aside the Gentiles, he called an uncircumcised Eberite, a descendant of Eber, whose father was Terah, an idolater. His name was Abram. God set aside the Gentiles, and he called a man by the name of Abram, and he started a new movement. And he said, I will make of thee, Abraham, a great nation. Many centuries later, David said concerning Israel, God hath not dealt with any nation so. What advantage hath Israel? Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the covenant and the giving of the law, and of whom Christ came, who is God over all, blessed forever? Some years ago, I published 5,000 books. Was God a Jew for 33 and a half years on this earth? They went out in a hurry. And one lady in Philadelphia told me that she had passed it on to 10 or 12 Jews who read it. That's the very heart of the Bible. Jesus Christ said in the 4th chapter of John, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, 24 years after Abraham left his country at the age of 75, God established the covenant of circumcision. And he says, from now on, every single one man, male, must be circumcised. And the one who is not circumcised shall be cut off from the congregation of the Lord and in the worship of God. And he said, this refers not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. Not only the natural seed of Abraham, but the Gentiles. Now, the great majority of the Gentiles refused to become Jews. We read in Esther 8:17 that many of the Persians became Jews. The only way a Gentile could be saved then, after the covenant of circumcision, was to come under the blessing of the covenant of circumcision and be identified with the natural seed of Abraham, and they were called proselytes. Now, while the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the Father. And so while he was here, he was not only circumcised himself, but he was identified with his brethren, the Jews. He was made of the seed of David and the seed of Abraham to make reconciliation for his people. Now that in Hebrews 2:16 and 17 is the word atonement. He made atonement. But remember this. He says that we are reconciled in one body by the cross. Now I'd like to have you turn with me to the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians and see our responsibility. In the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, notice what we read in the 19th verse. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, if you want to see that in operation, you read the 8th chapter of John. What a dilemma, what a position, what a predicament for the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Exodus, the 31st chapter, the last verse, When Jesus Christ was in the form of God, with his own finger, he wrote the Ten Commandments, the tables of stone. The seventh commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And if a person was found committing adultery, that person was stoned to death by the Levites. 20 times and more you read, under the law shall surely be put to death. Shall surely be put to death. In the 15th of Numbers, you find a man there that was out gathering sticks on the Jewish Sabbath, on Saturday. Moses didn't know what to do about that. It seemed to be a special case. Now, God says every disobedience and transgression must receive a just recompense of reward. He went away and had a talk with the Lord. He said, this man was caught gathering sticks. What shall I do with him? Can we let him go? He says, you take him without the camp and stone him till he's dead. And they did that. You know, a law without a penalty, a fixed penalty for the violation of the law, is not a law, it's only advice. Everybody wants the Commonwealth to have justice. Everybody except God. But I want to tell you that, first of all, that God is a just and a holy and a just judge. He can only be a merciful and long-suffering and kind and gracious Savior because the Lord Jesus Christ was God and became man. And when he became man, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Here's a woman in the 8th chapter of John taken in adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees, who were a law unto themselves and who repudiated the claims of Jesus Christ, put that woman in the midst of themselves with Christ standing there and said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now God says in the 7th commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt surely be put to death. And they had stones there, and they had the Levites all ready, and they wanted to stone her to death. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. And they went out from the greatest to the least. And Jesus Christ was left alone with that woman. He was the only one who could qualify. Who could cast the stone? The one who was without sin. He was without sin. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to cast stones. He's coming back to judge the world. And the Lord Jesus shall be revealed with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to be destroyed with everlasting destruction. John 5:22, the Lord says, the Father judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment into my hand. The Lord's coming back to execute judgment. But the first time, remember what God says, the greatest news that ever fell upon the human ear and into our hearts. John 3:17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Go through. Take that woman. Take the woman of sin in the house of the Pharisee. Mary Magdalene, the thief on the cross. Peter, who said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Take any one of them. And you'll find this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus Christ never said one unkind word to any sinner who was willing to confess his sin and receive Christ. But oh, what he said to those who were self-righteous and sufficient and thought they could get to heaven apart from the grace and mercy of God and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called them a generation of vipers. He called them serpents. He says, I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you self-righteous people. Now after the Lord Jesus Christ died, he sent Peter to the nation Israel again. Oh, what a message of mercy. When the Lord was dying, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, let all the house of Israel know that this same Jesus which you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. And did you ever read the next chapter? Read it 100 times. Ye men of Judea, he says, you have killed a prince of life. Pilate the heathen was determined to let him go. But you forced him. You put pressure on him. And you made him nail the Son of God to the cross with a lie. He had no fair trial. You remember Pilate said, I know he's innocent. I find no fault in him. But he was a politician. And politicians find it very difficult to be honest when they get in the caught in a trap. So they finally said, he made himself equal with God. Well, what did Pilate care about that? And then they finally said, if you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend because he says, I'm king. And so when they put the superscription above the cross that was put in Roman, the Latin, and the Greek, and the Hebrew, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, because the rulers of this world knew not they crucified the Lord of glory. And then Peter said that God knows that you did it through ignorance. And God would like to forgive you. Will you let God forgive you? A few of them, a small percentage of them, permitted God to forgive them. The rest of them took Peter and John and threw them in jail. Then Stephen came along, told them that Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified, was standing up there as the Son of Man, pointing up to heaven. They stoned Stephen to death. Then Paul went in the 13th chapter of Acts and told them that Jesus Christ was the seed of David. He was their Savior. God had raised him from the dead. And he said, God wants to give you the sure mercies of David. Acts 13:34. And a few of them received the message. The rest of them got all the people in the neighborhood and they came and they stoned Paul. And they left him outside the city of Lystra for dead. That's the way they rejected the Lord, both in incarnation and in resurrection. Until finally Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2:14-18, you ought to read it. You killed the Old Testament prophets. You killed Jesus Christ. You resisted the Holy Spirit. And now you forbid the apostles to preach to the Gentiles. The wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost. We don't learn anything by it. Where are the 13 million Jews today? They're prosperous. They're enjoying all the byproducts of evangelical Christianity. The only place they're safe is where Jesus Christ is exalted, but they won't have him as Savior. When they go to the heathen land, when they go to the people who are not evangelical Christians, what has happened to them? Here they are, they're accumulating by the millions and the millions. They're very active, they're very alert. But a blindness in part has happened to Israel. They're God's, what we call the God-forsaken people today. They're the greatest people, the nation on the earth. But today, they're set aside. Now Paul says in Romans 11:15, when God cast away his kingdom nation, he said in order to provoke them to jealousy, he sent salvation to the Gentiles, and through their casting away, reconciliation was sent to the Gentiles. Now remember, God gave up the Gentiles 2,000 years before Christ came. He gave up Israel about the middle of the first Christian century. Now, what was God going to do? He'd already given up the Gentiles. Now he had given up Israel and he had an elect remnant. Why didn't he take that remnant to glory or establish them in a kingdom and destroy the rest of the human race, just like he's going to do when Christ comes back? Well, God had an eternal purpose, and that purpose was based upon the ministry of reconciliation. In Colossians 1:20, we read this, that the Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself, and to reconcile those who had been alienated from the life of God by wicked works. Beloved, let me read to you again Ephesians 2:11 and 12 and connected up with Ephesians 2:19. If you have your Bible, look at it, will you? Ephesians 2:11. Remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Jews were nigh, the Gentiles were afar off. And when the Gentile came to the Lord Jesus in the 7th of Mark, he said, it's not right to take the Jews' bread and give it to you Gentile dogs. They're called the natural branches, we're called the wild olive tree. They were nigh, we're afar off. They were the commonwealth of Israel. We are the aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. But when God sent out the message of grace to provoke Israel to jealousy, that was in the middle of the first Christian century, not on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the message was not reconciliation. The message there was remission of sins and restitution. That was the kingdom message, not the message of reconciliation. That didn't begin until Israel was set aside. And then what happened? Here's the picture of us in the 19th verse. Notice. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Read the 6th chapter of Corinthians. Here's where the Gentiles were. Murderers, thieves, adulterers, drunkards, and all of these immoral things mentioned in the 1 Corinthians 6:10. And then it says in the 11th verse, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. How long did it take the Lord to make a saint out of a murderer or a drunkard? Just the moment he accepted the word of reconciliation. What a responsibility we have to preach the ministry and word of reconciliation, that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, though he knew no sin, was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Unto us is committed the word of reconciliation, and we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.